Do you want to become a better songwriter? Well, we created a very simple 10-minute songwriter personality test, and it's going to help you better understand who you are as a writer, and it's going to help you in the writer's room when you're writing with other writers, because you're going to be able to identify what kind of writer they are. Maybe even have them take the songwriter personality test. If you're curious and you want to take the songwriter personality test today, just visit songwriterpersonalitytest.com or go to the link on the writingworship.co website.
Brave Worship, episode 10. Welcome to Brave.
I can't believe it's episode 10.
I know. Look at us. We've had a crazy summer and everything, and here we are on number 10.
Here we are. And I just realized we don't have headphones on. I guess that's okay, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I can still hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
At least we don't need to hear, like, in-ears or anything like that right now.
Right.
No monitor needs.
Nope. None at all. It's a pretty simple setup here.
As we speak, my daughter's hanging upside down right outside the window. Awesome.
Hope off she doesn't of a hammock.
Fall on the concrete.
This is real life, people.
Yeah, it is.
Straight up real life.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I think that we've been living life with our families the last couple weeks, so we've been a little spotty. Mm-hmm. But you want to tell what we've been doing?
We have been doing all kinds of crazy stuff. We've been traveling. You mm-hmm. guys went to Montana and where else?
Wyoming.
Colorado. Mm-hmm. And just had an awesome trip. So check out Chrissy's Facebook pictures if you haven't seen them, because they're so amazing.
Yeah, we posted a few on the Brave page. But yeah, just had a great time unplugging everyone's phones and just spending time with each other and playing cards and Pictionary. And we hiked over the 2 weeks. We hiked almost 50 miles. Not Holy everyone cow. Loved it.
Some
of us did. Some did not.
But you were together either way.
We were together. Whether we were complaining or laughing, we were together. And then we flew into Denver, but then we drove about 4,000 miles. So we still put a lot of miles on the car.
That's insane.
So, yeah.
I feel like even though those states out there are like close together, mm-hmm. they're so big that every drive has got to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yep. And we feel like time is short because Alex, our oldest, is 16. And we've only got two more summers with him. So we're trying to decide what are the things we really wanted to do as a family and just, you know, investing in our family for that time. And it is an investment. I mean, it's not easy to swallow always financially or otherwise, but we've made it a priority. So, and I'm glad we did, you know, I'm glad that we did. Mm-hmm. So I hope we get to continue doing that the next couple summers. So
I love that. That's what my husband, Chris's family calls making memories.
Hmm.
And they're so good at that. Just
they
celebrating
are good at that.
Each, which you're reading that book about that, but celebrating all the moments of life, you mm-hmm. know, and just turning like a normal everyday dinner into a celebration. And so many times his dad will say, "We're celebrating tonight. Come on, everybody in the car, let's go get some dinner." And, you know, mm-hmm. they're just so good at that. And I think that that's so smart that you guys are doing that with the kids.
Aww.
And summers, I love it. I made a few memories of my own.
Yes. So let's hear about your trip.
So I drove the three kids
by yourself
from Tennessee to Michigan. And it was actually pretty smooth sailing. My kids are used to travel. So
yeah. But tell how you handled the car ride, because I think that's huge. Not mm-hmm. just for, you know, we're going to be talking about some practical things today. And that was gigantic. I've never done anything like that. So tell them what you did.
I hope I can remember what I did, but just kind of time blocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so many times, like our kids, we've always limited their game time, but uh-huh. I'm sure if you're listening and you have kids, you know, they would watch TV or play games like 24/7 if you let them, you know, and it's awesome. 'Cause I feel like sometimes it's like this little, gives you a little bit of a break. But at the same time, I know when my kids are on too long, we've talked about this before, they mm-hmm. get grumpy and they get too introverted and they're short with each other. And then they just, they're like addicted. They want to get back on again, mm-hmm. you know? And so I just kind of blocked out the time. And we went to the library before we went and mm-hmm. everybody had books. And even Jonas, my 4-year-old, I had like those CDs that would read the book and he could leaf
That's
through
so
it.
So good.
Mm-hmm. And then I had some other just like look and see books for him, but. So they could kind of all be independent. So we kind of split it out and we would do like, I would set a time frame for them because they do better with a schedule. Mm-hmm. And I sound like I'm super organized as a person right now and I'm really not, but they do great when they have structure. And so I did audiobooks for all of them for a season. And then I would say, okay, after this, you guys are going to do reading time. And then they'd have reading time. After this, I'm going to let you play games for 30 minutes, you mm-hmm. know? And then after that might be time to have a break, get out of the car. They'd come back in and we might watch a movie all of them together, mm-hmm. you know? So I just kind of split it out and I was way more structured, honestly, on the way up than I was on the way back down. And I think mm-hmm. it went better. Mm-hmm. I think it made it go better for them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. So even for worship leaders, or any, you know, musicians, artists, whoever, that's traveling with children, mm-hmm. that's a huge tip, I think.
I think, like, in saving, I agree with you. I think that that's smart because you've got to almost, like, save up those things that you know are going to grab their attention.
Yeah.
You know? And that kind of just rolls into what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. But from the time they're little, I would plan ahead for especially Sunday mornings or mm-hmm. rehearsal nights. Where I would bring, I'd save their best toys, their mm-hmm. best books. I might take it, you know, hide it for a couple of days even before then. If they were going to get some game time or get to watch a show, mm-hmm. I'd bring, you know, whatever device I had for them and earphones and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Snacks that I knew they could eat independently and that wouldn't be super messy. Like yeah. all that kind of stuff. And honestly, it made Sunday morning run so smoothly. Mm-hmm. It just made it possible because otherwise
so you,
it's not. Sometimes.
You made that part of your planning. So while you're planning for Sunday worship, you're not just planning your worship set. You're planning for your family, like what they're going to be doing too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah. double planning almost.
It kind of is, you know, mm-hmm. When I first started leading worship, I was, you know, 21, 22, full-time, I guess, leading mm-hmm. worship. And I remember even then Saturday nights, like, going to bed super early, like 8 o'clock, laying out my clothes, like doing everything I could so that when I got to Sunday, it was not, there was no like stressful thing that could happen mm-hmm. that would just rock my world Sunday morning,
so,
hopefully, you know,
with the kids. Then I know you also packed all kinds of snacks, mm-hmm. right? Like that was the whole other part of what you did. You packed, you planned when their snacks were, even lunch, didn't you bring them, or breakfast, one of them.
So many times. Yeah.
Yeah.
As the kids started coming, first it was,
because they started coming.
They started coming. They still haven't stopped. One in the cooker. yeah, for sure. Because we were in a church plant for the first, you know, 8 years almost of having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't just your normal like 4 or 5 hours at church. It was sometimes seven.
Yeah. Because you were setting up, you were tearing mm-hmm. down, you did everything.
Yep. So we'd show up 7 a.m. We would rehearse maybe 7:45 to 8:30 or so, mm-hmm. you know, and then have two services and then tear down. And sometimes we didn't get done until 1:30 or 2.
Yeah.
And so everything had to be pre-planned. And yeah. sometimes that included childcare. Mm-hmm. I would pay like a high school student $5 in the morning to come in early and just sit with my kids, help them to eat their breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like kind of boring, but we'd bring the same thing every week. It was either oatmeal was a season mm-hmm. until they got so sick of that they couldn't eat it anymore. Mm-hmm. Then it was peanut butter sandwiches for a while, you mm-hmm. know.
And they were in the room with you in the sanctuary area with you, or was she back in the nursery?
Yeah. Usually we would try to find a spot where mm-hmm. they weren't in the way of like the kids, people setting up, you mm-hmm. know, but they could also have somewhere where they didn't have to be super quiet. And
yeah,
because the thing was, we didn't want our kids to loathe those experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. Sunday morning. And so we tried to make it as fun and as easy on them, you know, as we possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were little, that was complicated because I had to time their naps, breastfeeding, bottles, whatever it was mm-hmm. around those times as well.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember coming to visit you once and I don't remember which baby it was. Maybe it was Asher. I don't know. But anyways, I remember we did first service and I think I sang with you that day And then you drove through Starbucks and you were pumping at the same time. You're driving through Starbucks.
Were you driving or me?
No, you were driving. It was like this short window of time we had between services. You got, this was your routine. Like you had it figured out. You drove through, got your Starbucks while you're pumping, went back, had the bottle ready for the nursery, and then went up and did second service.
Yep. Or I've had, I remember lots of times like doing my first set, the beginning of the service, going and nursing the baby in the nursery or in the bathroom, worst case scenario.
Right.
Dropping the baby back off, coming back out, doing the next set, you know, cause they're little.
Yeah.
When you're, you know, if you want to kind of just keep rolling with worship, and if worship's in you, it's, you don't really want to sit out for a couple months necessarily, you know, unless that's your season to do that. And that's okay too.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to start right back up. I mean, I know my third one, I was on bed rest toward the end for quite a while. And so when I got off of bed rest, I was like ready to go. And so I think 2 weeks after I was back doing worship because I wanted to be, you know, and I kept him right by me. I didn't put him in the nursery. I didn't check him in anywhere. I kept him close and had somebody just kind of keep an eye on him, you know, while I was on stage. But yeah, I don't know. I might be a little insane. But.
No, it's, I mean, it's good. I remember for a season, I was actually leading worship too. And we didn't start our worship a lot of times till 9 o'clock at night. It was a church plan as well. And that was challenging. I remember going and starting with her at 2 weeks and then, you know, did that for a few years. But that it's a sacrifice because then I knew we wouldn't get any sleep that night because you know how it is. If they fall asleep and then you drive and you get home, they wake up and then they're up, yep. You know? And so, I think it's just every situation's different. Every family's different. And, you know, that was really hard. I would have loved to keep doing it, but it was too challenging for us with the bedtime thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think, you know, you just have to really press into what God wants for you at that time, because different times is different things. But similar things in the writing room. So, you know, you have 4 hour time blocks in a writing room when you're writing songs, and you basically, you can't really leave to go nurse someone because you got to drive there. So I would just try to plan my nursing schedule around my writing schedule. So I would always, even if it was like, if I did a full feeding, then I'd do like a half feeding almost right before I left and then go. And then I'd inevitably get a text from Eric. They're screaming, get home
toward the end.
And I'd be rushing back home. But we made it work. It can work. Now, none of my babies took bottles, none of them. So, all three of them, none of them. So I think if you do bottle feeding, that's a lot easier probably. Mm-hmm. To do that and make that work. But I'm just here to say you can make it work with just nursing too. So we did a lot of that as far as that goes. I've even had a friend of mine, I won't mention any names, nurse during my co-write with her. And it was awesome because I don't care. You know, it's who we are as moms and women. And she knew I had nursed three babies. So, we just carried on with our co-write. And it was really freeing, actually, for her to just get to do that and not have to stress and worry about it and know that I would understand. Now, obviously, if you're writing with a guy, please don't do that.
Awkward! that made me think of, too, you know, I took a job in Phoenix and Chris and I moved there. And I remember us having the conversation with the pastor, like, hey, we've been married for a couple of years. We want to start a family pretty soon. And him just being like, of course, I understand that. And little did we know, like literally 2 months after we got there, Asher came along.
Wow.
We were pregnant for Asher, but like surprise, you know, so way sooner than we thought that would happen. And I remember just having that conversation with him, you know, we were hired out there for me to be a full-time worship pastor.
Yeah.
And just having to have that conversation. And one of the things that he said to me that I remembered thinking, this is so cool, because I knew he was going to be a little shocked by it, was I'm excited for you to be a mom because I think it'll bring a depth to your worship leading that you don't have yet. You know, like it's going to expand that in you. And it just makes me think that, you know, as you go through the stages of life, and for some of you, you might be listening to this and going, this is, you know, not where I am right now. Maybe you don't have kids yet, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that the thing is, as you go through these experiences and you gain this depth, it's feeding into who you are as an artist and a worshiper, you mm-hmm. know, and as a worship leader. And so that's why I think I'm so passionate. And I know you are about mm-hmm. not letting people let go of those passions and those dreams.
Yeah.
And that huge piece of who God called you to be mm-hmm. because life takes a twist or a turn, you know,
right.
expected or unexpected.
Right.
But just fitting it into your life, you know,
and bringing them along with you and showing them. I mean, like I think I've mentioned before, you know, I had someone say to me, your kids aren't going to learn to follow their dreams unless you follow yours.
Yes.
And that's a part of it. They see you living your dreams, you know, they see you doing it and living it out, and then they learn they can do it too. And that, I think there's something powerful about that that can't be taught any other way. Mm-hmm. You can't teach them that any other way than if you're doing it. It's the same as anything else, eating, reading your Bible, exercise, any of those things.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things you do, and that's how they learn.
I think it's true. That gave me a flashback. I have pictures of all three of mine in a car seat, mm-hmm. you know, on the stage during sound checks. And I have pictures of all three of mine sitting on my lap during a vocal rehearsal at the piano, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you have ever met my kids, they are three of the busiest, most active boys, you mm-hmm. know, that you can find. And so not always would I prefer to have all of them, you know, sitting in a rehearsal and that kind of thing. But those times that I have had to, I've had to teach kind of that culture to them of,
yeah,
okay, we couldn't get a babysitter maybe this Sunday morning. So mm-hmm. you guys all have to sit and just kind of hang a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. and there's grace within that. I don't want to sound like I'm too rigid because mm-hmm. I'm not, but just, you know, allowing some freedom for them. Lots of times other adults will come along and talk with them or, you know, like, I feel like the church is pretty good about that for the most part. Mm-hmm. Just people interacting and loving on, mm-hmm. on pastors' kids. And if you're listening and you need to do that for your pastor, then do it, you know, mm-hmm. It can be just absolutely huge, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that happens with all kinds of ministers. I see our children's minister every week doing that, setting up, the kids are there. VBS week, they were there the whole week before, mm-hmm. helping her prepare, you know. So if you see an opportunity to bless your pastor, no matter which pastor it is, with their kids, if there's, you know, something going on at church, take that opportunity, because you never know how much they really appreciate that.
That's huge. And I think, you know, really looking back, we pre-planned as much as we could for stuff over mm-hmm. the years, but we could never have done what we've done without those people that God sent yeah. along the way. Because
you
until
had a couple
recently,
of really special people.
Yeah, we had a few people that I think we couldn't have done what we did without, mm-hmm. you know, because we'd never had family for a lot of their growing up close by. Mm-hmm. But it's like God brought these people, you know, into their yeah. lives. And it was like, you know, Sunday school teachers or just different people that really showed up and really helped, which was amazing.
I loved them.
You know, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
Absolutely.
There's a few other things you and I talked about that we wanted to share as far as just practical ways to handle preparing a family for ministry and worship and writing, all of it, mm-hmm. things that we can do. And one of my favorites is easy meals. I couldn't wait for this part. Here it is.
Tell us about easy meals, Chrissy.
Well, I mean, I think I've just learned, because it's really hard to not, you know, if you're trying to eat healthy, it's one thing. I mean, if you're going through a drive-thru, it's no big deal. But we try not to do drive-thrus, and we try to do, you know, as healthy as we possibly can, which is not always possible. But if I can plan things ahead of time, it's so much easier. You know, there's so many crock pot meals now that you can just do this whole like batching thing where you do several meals, you get all your stuff done, like, I don't know, seven meals or something like that at a time. You put them in your freezer and you get them out, stick it in the crock pot in the morning, and it's ready by lunchtime or dinner time, you know, whatever you want. But I think that has been one of the hugest things for me. From a writing standpoint, if I can get something like that in and I know my kitchen's cleaned up ahead of time and I know the laundry's caught up, those three things are huge. So one of my favorite, I'll give an example. One of my favorite easy crock pot meals is to throw in some frozen chicken breasts, or you can throw in, you know, just raw, either way. And then a jar of salsa. And that's it. And you can put it on low or high, depending on how much time you have. And then it makes great tacos for that night. That's like as easy as it gets. Come on.
That is awesome.
Come on.
I love it. Open up a can.
Open up a can and pour it in.
I love it.
Unless you have Chris Dodd's salsa in the refrigerator, then that's even better.
Yeah, that is right. If you don't know, my husband is the salsa king.
Yes. Champion salsa winner in Arizona.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, but that's one I have done a lot. Is there anything else you can think of just off the top of your head?
I think planning that stuff wise is definitely huge. Like the crock pot thing, makes it so much easier. Or even, I mean, if it's salads or something you're doing, making them in the morning, sometimes that's early before work for some people, you know, but anything, it takes a little effort on your part, but anything that makes it possible for you to do what you love to do and want to do, I think is huge. And we talked a little bit about spouses too, for those of you who are married. I know for me, I feel less like I'm leaving the family in a lurch or whatever, because I do a lot of evening stuff between my business
sometimes
and worship.
And travel.
Yeah, and travel. Yeah. I feel so much better if I have prepared something where it's like, you know, Chris is getting home from church at the end of the day and he's not having to scrape together something for dinner and entertain the kids and put them to bed. All these things, by, you know.
Yes.
So like you were saying, having things basically cleaned up for him, having something at least started for dinner, you know. And I feel like that lets your family know you're thinking of them. They're still your priority.
That's even huge. That's huge. It shows them their priority.
Yeah, I think so too. I think just that little bit of planning shows a lot of thought.
Yes. And now we know it's not always possible, but in general, you know, if you can do it. The other thing that I've been trying to plan more, and this is kind of, I mean, it doesn't totally relate to all of this, but it's just my morning time for myself, because I let that go for probably 3 years, I think. But just adding that back in recently has made a huge difference for me. And that's, you know, me sacrificing sleep pretty much to get up and do it, because I'd really love to stay in bed an extra hour and a half. But if I can get that away, out of the way first, you know, my walk and my time with the Lord, then come home, I'm so much more fresh for my family. And it's easier for me to give if I've received that morning. And then also, you know, then I go into preparation mode and cleaning and all that stuff before I leave. And normally my co-writes don't start until 10 o'clock. So that gives me a good couple hours to get the house in order, get everybody out the door. You know, there are three different directions kids are going or whatever. And yeah, so that's how I've been kind of scheduling my days. And it's really been, it's helpful. And if I get everything that I can done in the mornings, then I'm freed up in the afternoons, and probably same for you, for soccer games or whatever I need to do for the kids. So I try to plan my day to where I still can get to those things that are important and make sure I'm there when they get home as much as possible.
That's huge. So something just came to mind.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about lots of times you will schedule these 4-hour blocks for writing. So for somebody who is listening and they're saying, I can't do a 4-hour block right now in my season, what are a couple, because I know you've done some creative ways. So give a couple of tips on how can you do it if you don't have 4 hours?
You can write ahead of time. So if you prepare ahead of time, if you get like a verse and chorus and you walk into a room, it's not going to take you. I mean, it takes time to get to the place where you can pump them out, you know? And sometimes it'll take me 2 hours. Sometimes I'm done with a full song in 2 hours, but that's taken me 20 years to get to that point where I can do that. So starting out, it might take me months. And now I still do write on email with a couple people, one in particular is one of my favorite co-writers, and it'll take us months and we don't ever sit in a room together. We just email back and forth, and that's how we work. But it gives us time to think, and we get better songs that way, I think, from that dynamic of the two of us. But you know, those are a couple ideas. Prepare ahead of time, walk in with something. If you walk in with something, chances are it's going to wrap up more quickly. And then take your time and do email. You don't have to go at a certain, you know, pace.
You do
that
some
way.
Skype stuff too, don't you? I think Zoom would be another app that would be. It's actually, I think Zoom is a little more reliable, actually.
Oh, I should try that.
Than Skype. And Zoom is free, but you have a 45-minute limit. Mm-hmm. So it's an extra charge if you want to have longer sessions than that. But I suppose if it's just one other person, you could hang up and call them right back after 45 minutes.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Just to keep it simple and not to add a cost to yourself. But because I think that'd be really nice, especially like during that. Hey, I have an hour and a half during nap time.
And you don't have to leave the house.
Session here and then let's do another one tomorrow. Or which I hate to have to do that, you know, but like you're saying, sometimes you got to marinate on something anyway.
Yeah. So there's ways to make it work. Yeah.
I want to hear about your, Christy has, what did you call it?
My month. It's a calendar. So I have a really hard time with calendars and keeping schedules. I'm not like wired that way for some reason.
You guys got to see that this is a creative's calendar by far.
Well, it had to look fun, or I knew I wouldn't use it, and I still don't sometimes.
See,
but
you know, mine would look like a real calendar, like very boring. Yours is way cooler.
That's funny. Well, I think I just wanted to put like, I wanted it all compartmentalized because that's how I see it. But, you know, when I look at just lines on a piece of paper, my mind can't compartmentalize it. So it just helped me to see what kind of time I have. And when those slots fill up for the month, I know I'm done. So, you know, I have like a little square for family, date nights, staff meetings. That's what Eric and I do. Every Monday, we're supposed to have our staff meeting and go over finances. And, you know, if we get that stuff taken care of, then our family runs much more smoothly. And then weekly time with the kids, I try to have time with each of them, which doesn't always happen, but I always try to. And then family and friends, I have, some open time for that. Besties for, you know, just time with friends, coffees. Now coffees in my mind, that means probably somebody new that I'm just getting to know, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just put two spots. Really, I don't even have time for two spots a month, to tell you the truth. Most time, you know? And then flex co-writes. So, you know, I've been getting more requests for co-writes, which is great. But I have two that I've said are flexible per month that I'm not doing integrity writing for. So I just have a little bit, but I still have it in there because I still want to do that. Then I have Brave Worship on there and Girls Write Out, which is really part of Brave. And if you haven't seen that yet, you can check that out on Facebook too. I think Eric just posted a link. We do live events once a month and we're going to be doing those. So be watching for those, but you can get on and watch Periscope and see those live events. And then doTERRA. So we do essential oils and I have a little section for that. Groceries, journaling. So I fit it all on one page. So we'll let you see it. But it gives you an idea, I guess, for how to organize time.
Yes, she can. I think this is really cool. And I think you can post it and people can kind of model their own, you know? Yeah. And yours just looks like you photocopied it, right? Or you can photocopy it.
I photocopied it.
So that you can duplicate it. I think it's awesome. And I think what's cool about this, because I think it's, it kind of has your goals on it. At the same time, it has your boundaries. You know what I mean? Like what you're going to hold within.
Yes. And that was the hard thing, because I do want to say yes to everything, you know? I mean, I'm just wired that way. I love people. I love new people. I love, you know, all this stuff. But I think I just needed to make sure my family was my first priority. And that was what helped me get to that place again. So
I love it. I think it's great. I need to do the same exact thing.
Oh, well, you can have a copy then. Here you go.
Okay. Thank you. Well, do we want to announce our projected date coming
up? Yeah, I think we probably should. I think it's time.
Does anyone know what it is?
November. We have a surprise we're announcing today.
Yes, we are. We're both frantically searching our iPhone calendars.
Let's see who's
gonna
get there
first. Oh, you do use a boring old calendar too. Look at you.
I do. I try to be
okay. 11th and 12th
of November.
November 11th and 12th. Mm-hmm. We are so excited. I think right.
Yep.
Just for the idea that we could get together as a community, the people that listen to this podcast, you know, but the girls that attend Girls Write Out on a regular basis, just connections that we have. And what's insane is just since we've released this, we started in March, right? We have heard from so many people who they are craving something like this, a mm-hmm. time for community, a time to connect with other people. Oh my word, there is another female worship leader out there,
right?
You know, or mm-hmm. another writer in a different church, even though I feel like I'm the only female writer in my church, you know, that kind of thing. And so we want to provide that, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We want to not only be, you know, a podcast community, but we want to be a live community. And, you know, hopefully that we'll get to meet a lot of you that are listening and hopefully hit some great topics. And I know we're going to be pulling in some people and people are volunteering already to help. So we're really excited. It's going to be here in Franklin, Tennessee.
Yep.
At our church, which is Gateway Franklin on Lewisburg Pike. So if you're out of town, go ahead and book your hotel, your flights. We've got that date set and secure.
Yep. Plan on being here. Kind of think of the time frame of Friday night and all day Saturday, right? It's kind of what we're planning for. And just, we promise to give you guys some value too, you know, mm-hmm. Just as far as being a woman in worship ministry, both worship leading side, songwriting side, logistical stuff. And mm-hmm. you'll hear from some other voices other than just ours as well.
Yes.
But just, we're going to have some worship and, I just think it's going to be really powerful. I can't wait to see, you know, what God's going to do through this community that he's already started so much in, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And, and we're really looking forward to it ourselves too. I mean, we're praying and expecting great things.
Absolutely. So. Very exciting.
Well, you guys heard it here first.
Yes, you did.
And we'll be posting registration mm-hmm. soon.
Yes.
So.
Yep. Keep your eyes peeled for that and go ahead and start planning, you know, your dates, taking off, work, church, whatever you need to do to set aside.
Keep your banana eyes out.
Yes.
As Annie would say.
Oh, that's cute. Well, you guys, don't forget, we have a pretty active Instagram page, so like us on Instagram and interact with us. We'd love to hear your comments and your thoughts. Same thing with Facebook, mm-hmm. facebook.com/Brave Worship. Make sure you join us there. And last but not least, where can they go to get a free song?
BraveWorship.com/song.
Yeah.
Oh, I remembered something.
She got it. Woo!
Yes.
She got it. So yeah, jump on our website. Make sure you're part of our email list. That's also where you're going to get the information about our registration for the conference and all that kind of stuff. And anytime we put out a new podcast, we're sending out emails for that. So make sure you're on the email list and we want to know who you guys are. So please interact with us on social media and thanks for listening.
And please also rate us because it'll help others find us.
Yes, on the podcast thingy.
Don't just like us on there. Like us in real life.
We like you. Like us.
Have a great week, everybody.
The times I've grown most as a songwriter are the times I've had mentors showing me the way. If you're looking to grow as a songwriter, we're now accepting applications for our Worship Songwriter Mentorship. Now, it's available only a few times each year. The Worship Songwriter Mentorship is a songwriting intensive that will help you craft impactful worship songs. It's a course created by Dove Award-winning and Grammy-nominated, drumroll here please, our founder, pro songwriter Chrissy Nordoff. It's a small group community, and it's led by other songwriters over the course of 9 weeks. It's an intensive course and a small group co-writing environment, and that means you'll be added to a special group of about 12 writers, give or take. Each group is led by experienced songwriters, some of them my dear, dear friends, and I've even gotten to lead a group or two. Rachel here, by the way. We love the church, and we love to champion fellow worship songwriters just like yourself. In this mentorship, you'll learn how to write songs for you and your congregation. You'll go deeper in your intimacy with Jesus. You'll get the tools needed to help craft songs more easily and never run out of creative ideas. Okay, I know it sounds too good to be true, but trust me, this course is a game changer. You'll learn how to leverage your unique songwriting personality and connect with other like-minded writers in a meaningful way. Truly, I can't think of another course, group of people, community that has impacted my songwriting the way that this mentorship has. If you're wanting to take the next steps in your songwriting journey, then apply now at the link in our show notes. We hope to see you there.